This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. NovaGold, one of the companies developing the proposed Donlin Gold mine, has filed a lawsuit against a research firm. That firm released a report in May that the proposed Donlin Gold mine will not be built and that NovaGold is overvalued. The short-selling research firm J Capital Research and their clients make money from stock prices dropping. The firm released a report making the case that the proposed Donlin Gold mine is not going to be built because it's too expensive to do so. The day J Capital Research released its report, NovaGold's stock prices fell from around $10 per share to $8. By the end of June, the stock had recovered much of those losses. NovaGold CEO Greg Lang called the report misleading in an interview in June.
More than anything else, I think we've all experienced it, but it's indicative of the power of disinformation when it spreads on the internet.
NovaGold released a line-by-line rebuttal. Its partner, Barrick Gold, which is one of the biggest gold mining companies in the world, has not responded to requests for comment. Now NovaGold is suing J Capital Research Firm for damages. Alaska's Energy Desk reached out to NovaGold and J Capital Research Firm for comment, but did not receive one by broadcast time. NovaGold's stock rose slightly after it announced the lawsuit and is now trading at nearly the same amount that it was before J Capital Research Firm came out with its report. And the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation wants everyone who travels into the region from Anchorage to get tested for the coronavirus, and it's trying to make the process as easy as possible. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports the Health Corporation is offering free testing to all incoming travelers at the airports in Bethel, Aniak, and St. Mary's.
These airports are the only ones in the region with direct flights from Anchorage or anywhere outside the YK Delta. The Bethel Airport testing began in late April and in Aniak in early May. YKHC spokesperson Tiffany Zolkuski says St. Mary's was ready to begin testing in May, but didn't offer its first airport test until June 9th. That's when the hub community's first charter flight arrived from Anchorage. When Raven Air shut down in April, that ended scheduled air service from Anchorage to St. Mary's and Aniak. Both YK Delta hubs now rely on charter planes to access Alaska's largest city. Because the flights are not regularly scheduled, Zolkuski with YKHC says the subregional clinics there rely on charter companies contacting the clinics to notify them of incoming flights. Zolkuski says the clinic staff offers testing whenever the planes land. Zolkuski says in Aniak, 90% to 100% of all passengers opt for testing, and those who do not opt for testing suggest they have recently been tested elsewhere. In St. Mary's, it's similar. About 90% of passengers there choose to get tested. In Bethel, the percentage is much lower. About 25 to 75% of passengers take the test, though one day this weekend, Zolkuski says 90% of passengers opted to be tested at the Bethel Airport. YKHC encourages any passengers who are not tested at the airport to contact their local health clinic to schedule a test. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And the bankrupt Raven Air Group sold off dozens of its small planes to several Alaska aviation companies in an auction on Tuesday. But Raven's largest planes and most valuable airline operating certificates won't be sold until Wednesday. The auction was run by a Raven bankruptcy attorney on the Zoom video conferencing platform. 15 of the company's Cessna planes went for $10 million to Grant Aviation, which serves the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, Bristol Bay, and the Aleutian Islands. Raven sold its Beechcraft fleet, which consists of 8 planes, for $5 million to Anchorage-based Ace Air Cargo, and it sold 14 more Cessna planes to Bethel-based Ute Commuter Service for $1.5 million. Ute also bought 2 of Raven's buildings in Bethel and in another hub community, St. Mary's. The winning bids must still be approved by a federal bankruptcy judge at a hearing Thursday. And still on the block when the auction resumes on Wednesday morning are 10 of Raven's larger planes, 9 de Havilland Dash 8s and a Saab 340. Those planes will be sold with the federal operating certificates for 2 of Raven's 3 airlines, Penn Air and Corvus Airlines. Those companies flew between Anchorage and larger hub communities on the Kenai Peninsula and in the Aleutian Islands and other areas of rural Alaska. The planes sold Tuesday were generally used for shorter flights between hub communities and smaller remote villages. Raven was Alaska's largest rural air service before the COVID-19 pandemic forced it into bankruptcy earlier this year. With Tuesday's sale of the planes, the fate of the company is unknown, and company officials didn't respond to requests for comments on its future. And moving on to federal news, a federal judge issued an injunction that prevents Alaska Native corporations from receiving part of a tribal funding set aside in the CARES Act. The decision came Tuesday as tribal nations appealed a ruling in late June that said the Native corporations were eligible to receive the funding. U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta has ruled against several tribes in the lower 48 and Alaska. They sued the Department of Treasury and Interior over the eligibility of Alaska Native corporations to receive a portion of about $8 billion. The decision hinged on whether Alaska Native corporations could be considered tribal governments in relation to the funding. Though he wrestled with his decision, Mehta ultimately ruled that they could. The injunction Tuesday paves the way for tribes to pursue an appeal in the case, but that only gives them until July 14th to do so. After that, the injunction expires July 15th. And finally, Alaskans get a relatively small permanent fund dividend checks this year, $992 for every man, woman, and child. But as KRBD's Eric Stone reports, a Southeast senator says lawmakers squirreled away a historic amount to keep PFD checks coming in the future.
The constitutionally protected portion of the Alaska Permanent Fund got a nearly $5 billion boost as the fiscal year drew to a close last month. Sitka's Republican Senator Bert Stedman co-chairs the Senate Finance Committee.
The significance is huge. It's the biggest contribution ever that I know of into a sovereign wealth fund in North America, maybe the planet for all I know.
He spoke about the move at a 4th of July campaign event in Ketchikan. There are essentially two parts of the roughly $63 billion permanent fund. The first contains the bulk of the fund itself, the corpus, the constitutionally protected principle. It can't be spent without a vote of the people. Permanent fund managers invest that money in all kinds of things, like stocks, bonds, real estate, even stakes in private companies. If those investments make money, that revenue is deposited into what's called the earnings reserve account. That's where dividend checks come from, and it also funds the state government. And though protecting almost $5 billion is nothing to sneeze at, Stedman says the legislature voted to squirrel away quite a bit more, but was overridden.
We wanted substantially more than that, double, actually more than double. But in the political process, you have to compromise and work with other members and also work with the administration, the governor.
Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed about $5.6 billion of that transfer. He told reporters at the time that the transfer could threaten the state's ability to pay dividends in an amount calculated under a 1982 law. And permanent fund officials have warned against moving too much out of the earnings reserve. Trustees said in a February board meeting that taking too much out of that account could make it harder to fund dividends and state services in a bear market. But Stedman says he's worried about lawmakers spending down the earnings reserve. Recent budgets have nearly drained two other state savings accounts. He says he wants to protect the permanent fund from a similar fate.
I think one of the most paramount issues we face is the protection of the permanent fund itself, that we don't liquidate the permanent fund like we did the rest of our savings accounts. So I'll be advocating going forward to make an additional contribution into the corpus or the permanently protected portion of the permanent fund.
The $5 billion transfer to the protected portion of the trust fund is the largest in its history, Stedman said, even larger than the $734 million deposit that established the permanent fund in 1976. Although, of course, with inflation, that would be around $3.3 billion today. The transfer still leaves approximately $12 billion in the earnings reserve. That's about four times as much as state officials plan to draw from it through next July. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukden, coming up.